Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by the Independent FM Los Angeles. You can tune in to Indie at theindependent.fm online, and you can also find us on Facebook in order to get an idea of who is on when. You can find me, Mo, on the Independent FM Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific time, and Fridays from 1 to 3 as well. We spin all kinds of indie and alternative music, and it's a really good time, so check out the Independent FM. On this episode, I am joined by the oh-so-dapper Marlo Gamora out in New York City. We met at Dante, the cafe slash bar where he works, a place that has really made a name for itself in the last couple of years with a fantastic low ABV menu, a really outstanding Negroni selection, and much, much more. I met him quite a few years ago when he was working at a place called Jeepney, which had just started up. It was a Filipino gastropub that wanted to dive into the history of the Filipinos and tiki. And that is exactly what Marlo brought to the table. And now he's moved on to different kinds of spirits. And we sat down to talk, you know it, music and booze.
Well, New York is big,
yeah. So we're in New York at Dante, which, did you guys get a Tails mention this year?
Yeah, we're top four.
Are you guys in the top four?
Final four for
congratulations.
Restaurant, cocktail bar, I think.
Sweet. I didn't see what the final four in each category wound
up being. Yeah, we're on there, which is pretty exciting.
That's very exciting.
I'm going to be here, apparently, working.
Why are you going to be here?
Can't make it out to Tails.
Okay.
No one's going to hold down the fort. No one's going to be
Someone's got to stay behind.
And you know what? I'd prefer to be here with, like, my friends and family during the ceremony and hang out.
And watch it live or something. All right, so since we're recording, tell everyone who you are. I know you're Marlo, but tell me who you are, Marlo.
My name is Marlo Gamora. I am a bartender here at Dante, and I'm also a tiki freak. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. We're being served delicious cocktails with St. Germain in them because you also have an affiliation with St. Germain.
Yes, I am the New York City brand specialist for St. Germain as well.
How long have you been doing the cocktail thing? Because it hasn't been your whole life, has it?
Probably a total of about 8 years.
How did you fall into it?
Well, during college, I was a barback in Jersey City just to make, like, summer money. And then eventually, I just started bartending, just pouring, like, the two-step cocktails.
And cocktails?
Yeah. Like,
vodka and
beer.
Tonic.
Vodka and tonic. Whiskey and Coke.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing that. Then after that, I went to work 9 to 5. And about, what was it, like 6-7 years ago, I started geeking out about classic cocktails because of the whole revival of, like, classic cocktails. Just at home, I would just geek out about it and make drinks at home and just collect whatever booze I have and try to get an understanding of all the spirits that I'm tasting.
Yeah.
Outside.
So you super geeked out.
Yeah.
You went into, like, deep research mode.
Usually when I, like, geek out about something, it's just like, it's 100%.
It's full throttle.
It's just like, this is what I want to learn and know about. Mm-hmm. Just like everything in my, like, as in my childhood, just, it was comics, music, it was video games.
Are you a comic nerd?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
And then, like, tiki nerd, yeah, and like now cocktail nerd, and
yeah, just learn it all.
Just learn it all, and now I've been just, yeah, everything that I just put my
so heart so you gave up the full time job to start cocktailing.
Well, I was
in a way.
I was a freelance.
But you did photography, right? Which is
for
also
many years.
We were saying that cocktails is an art, photography is an art. I think there's a certain mindset to all of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely just that creative aspect between, I guess, being creative and like sharing this creativity with the world, whether it be a painter or a bartender, or a photographer, and, or a musician, you know, it's like to please someone else from your creativity is probably one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, totally.
It's one of those things where, you know, I'm so glad that someone enjoys this music or this cocktail that I created.
Yeah. So when you started doing, when I think I knew of you way before I met you because you're friends with my brother.
Yeah.
And I remember Tiki T, classic old school tiki bar in Los Angeles, the second one in Los Angeles proper. First, Tonga Hut was considered, that was earlier. Don's all kinds of stories there. But I think when Tiki T had their 50th anniversary, my brother sent me a text, hey, can you go over there and grab one of those mugs for my friend Marlo? And I was like, am I becoming an enabler? Is that what's happening right now? I am, yeah. But it's all right, because Tiki T is worth supporting.
Yeah.
I don't mind. And actually, I don't think I've ever told you this. I lived literally like down the street, like 4 or 5 blocks.
Yeah.
I used to go there all the time. I still go there all the time, but I went there all the time not knowing Tiki people. I just went there because it was my neighborhood bar, which it is, which is wonderful. I went maybe like, it was a week or so after the anniversary, bought your mug, sent it to my brother, he got it off to you.
Yeah.
I found out that the day that mug was released, there was a line for like 3 blocks, and they ran out. And when I went back, they'd just gotten the new batch in. I was just oblivious. That's cool. I got his mug. Let's go.
Oh, man,
so, you know, no trouble for anybody.
That was amazing.
But you are currently working at Dante, which is, you know, I mean, it's Italian-based, all kinds of cocktails. There's a whole Negroni menu here right now, which I don't think is left over from Negroni week. I think that's just what y'all do.
Yeah.
You do the elderflower, but I think the first time maybe you and I really spent any time together, you were at Jeepney.
I was at Jeepney.
And you were brought in there specifically, to run the bar program and
to
create.
To run the bar program.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a liquor license, and soon after they got their liquor license, they needed someone to like run the bar.
And Jeepney,
like,
I think it's important to say, is a Filipino gastropub.
Filipino gastropub, amazing like Filipino street food.
Yeah.
Definitely very approachable for like the New York City market.
Yeah.
But still kind of aggressive and pushing, I guess, boundaries between food. And they needed someone to like take over the bar program, and so I came on board. And me being a tiki geek at the time, and most Filipinos in the past. We're the originators of tiki cocktails.
And we are on microphones here, so nobody can see you, but you're a Filipino guy as well.
So me being Filipino, it's like I wanted to pay an homage to Filipino tiki bartenders and created a tiki program at Jeepney.
Which I love that. I love, because you're absolutely right. The four boys, the original four boys from Dawn the Beachcombers, were 4 Filipino guys in the back room who were making syrups and doing this and passing it through the window, and nobody ever saw them.
And the thing is, those kind of cocktails really complement Filipino food to the nines.
Yeah,
and
right?
It's like the way that if you come out to New York City and go to Jeepney, you'll see how tiki could fit in there.
Yeah.
And definitely there's like a lot of Filipino influences with tiki cocktails.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of an Asian thing. I mean, Filipino, it's the whole Polynesian thing, but Filipino is very strong because when it started, it was Filipino guys who did it.
Filipino guys who were making it.
Yeah, I mean, they had like, you know, the white wannabe actor who was the Don Beach, who was fronting the whole thing. But it was Filipino guys who made those drinks.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that. That made me, when you were doing that, that made me really happy because it felt very full circle.
Yeah.
You know, it felt very complete.
100%. And so I did that for a little bit, and it was awesome. And
then we moved on to the next challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, all these challenges and stuff, so.
Yeah. And so, Dante, I mean, is this place Italian technically? Is that what they try to make it?
Technically, it's been open for almost more than 100 years, and it's been an Italian cafe.
You're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Mambo, mambo Italiano, mambo, mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe. Shake like a Giovanni, hey, look, as a ditch, you get a happy in the feet. So when you mambo Italiano. All right, back to the booze, back to Dante. What pulled you into Dante? Why did you decide you wanted to come over here?
It was a challenge that I had never taken before. It was pretty much an aperitivo bar and working under Narnia. Because he's a legend in the industry, and his style of bartending and his entire philosophy was something that I was very, very interested in learning.
Oh, okay. And this was the challenge you're solving.
This was the challenge.
You pulled yourself out of your comfy tiki world.
My comfort tiki world, you know, just like,
it's something you established.
I worked at Middle Branch, so it was just like different kind of like thoughts and training for like cocktails and like how to think about cocktails and developing cocktails, whether it be tiki or I guess the booze forward kind of classic style of like milk and honey. And like I just wanted to push the boundaries to like find out what else I can do, what else is out there, and see different perspectives on how to create a cocktail with different flavors. So
do you feel that you get, how experimental do you get? I mean, tiki is a comfortable thing. It's been around for such a long time, and something you actually, I love that we mentioned comic books at some point already, and you were the first person who said this to me, which I repeat all the time.
What?
Are you ready for your words of wisdom?
Cool.
You said, Tiki Files are the Trekkies of the cocktail world. And by your nodding, you stand by that statement.
100%.
And you know, the thing is I remember you said that, and in my head, my next thought was, well, of course, because tiki cocktails, you can't free pour a tiki cocktail and have it taste good. It's going to taste like shit if you free pour that. You can't fake it on those. That's why the 80s happened. The 80s almost destroyed tiki because people started putting Rose's Grenadine in shit, fake lime, all of this stuff, and drinks were disgusting. It was like you were drinking melted ice cream.
Things just like got faster and faster.
It was all about
care to it,
right?
Hospitality.
And then when the crowd, I think right now this the boom in tiki. Honestly, people can appreciate tiki now that they appreciate craft cocktails.
Yeah.
Because now people are doing tiki right. So you had said that to me, and I just laughed. But then I thought, it's true. There is a level of nerdism to those cocktails, and they come in and like the retro and like this. But those drinks have to be meticulously made for them to taste right.
Yeah.
So now that you're not working in tiki, it's just something you can enjoy on the side again.
100%. Yeah.
Right.
I
sometimes it's hard to work in what you love. You don't want to mess it up for yourself.
I mean, it was pretty tough working at tiki and making tiki cocktails. And at one point, I was just like, man, I don't want a tiki cocktail anymore.
So you came here and started doing like stirred. Now you've got
stirred,
like, what is the drink
bitter.
Here that you've come up with, or what is the drink you love serving people here?
It's pretty much the Negroni is pretty much the...
This place is way Negroni heavy, you know?
It's all fortified wines, vermouths, it's aperitifs. Mm-hmm. It's low ABV, bittersweet, complexity, but also refreshing and very easy to drink, which is like kind of like the opposite. It's like of tiki, which is awesome, but it's
but
opened
up... it's a different story.
It's opened up my flavor profile, my palate to like different and new things.
I mean, with tiki, we're used to
fruit juices,
cream, coconut, the sweet stuff. But
sour, it's like a little bit of like nutmeg and spice.
Right. Before
the funkiness of rum.
See, you doing this, you're working with a lot more spirit forward kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I would say spirit forward. It's more a fortified wine.
Okay.
And like amaros and aperitifs.
That's true.
Dante.
So what? And then, so
like,
what's
you know
the...
what? The vodka is delicious now. Like,
have you tried it's Black Cow, I think, that milk vodka.
I haven't.
It's really interesting. I actually tried it and I was like, oh, there's a vodka I'm not going to make fun of later, because I'm not that much of an asshole. I just at some point just went, vodka's just not for me.
Yeah.
But I can be enticed if something is nice. I'm willing. I'm open-minded enough. So here, working with Fortified Wines and all this, what have you learned? I mean,
it's just a different range of flavors. Like, yeah, working with like Genepee and mm-hmm. Sailors, and
yeah,
working with the Quinolero, mm-hmm. Quino, like just different kinds of bittering agents, and like especially like vermouths and how they're made, and the complexity of just drinking a glass of vermouth is like, I will say it's
drinking vermouth straight,
drinking
like with nothing.
Dry vermouth, or like a Rosso vermouth mm-hmm. straight, or on the rocks with a twist. It's like there's so much complexity to vermouth. And then like a sherry, like drinking sherry.
Sherrys
like,
and Amaros are exploding right now. Exploding.
And the thing is, like, whether or not it's exploding, it's just like, for me, it's like creative person to mm-hmm. find that, to have that in my palate.
Well,
like,
what I was going to say is, because it's exploding right now, you have more options to play with.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. There's so many. I saw you guys have the Bruto Americano behind the bar, which I remember trying that maybe a year or two ago during Negroni Week.
Yeah.
And I used to live in the Bay Area, so I know that distillery. And I was just like, whatever this is, I totally love it. You know, and it falls into that realm.
Yeah.
So there's so many... so many options to choose from, like variations on these themes.
Yeah.
So to go back to what is something that you've come up with during your time here at Dante, a cocktail that you've come up with that you really enjoy, like one of yours, because I know you come up with stuff.
Is that too hard to say? Well, I mean...
Girl, I can't choose my children.
for me, it's like whatever I feel like drinking at the moment.
Yeah.
And a while back, every month we usually have an internal competition here, and one of the cocktails that won was one of mine. It was just a martini variation mm-hmm. with vodka.
Oh, okay.
And so it was just, I just...
You're like, this. So like this vodka, though. Shut up.
But the thing is, it's like with this martini, like you can still get a lot of complexity still mm-hmm. with the vodka. It's like, it is what it is. And
yeah.
like there's some vodkas that are very delicious as well.
Yeah.
But so I had a martini on the menu and... It was called the Rosé Martini because it was around springtime and rosé is so hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Rosé Martini.
And it says
rosé and vodka.
Well, it's not rosé per se, rosé wine.
Okay.
But it had the color of a rose.
Okay. Okay.
So it was just a really nice, just dry, not too sweet, kind
yeah.
of like elegant drink, which kind of reflects what we do here. And you know, it had Peychaud's bitters. It had Grey Goose vodka, dry vermouth, a little dash of Saint Germain, and Lillet rose.
Wow. I love Lillet in a cocktail.
So it was definitely a different take on
yeah.
like. Some kind of like vesper, but like also still keeping the standards of what a martini is, mm. but with little hints of complexity. So it was just really nice, soft, and elegant with a lemon twist. And
it made you happy.
It made me happy. And the thing is, like, if you think about it, there's like 5-6 ingredients into that cocktail,
yeah.
which technically could be a tiki cocktail because of all the ingredients. But it's still a martini.
But it was a martini.
So, but you still had to keep true to the martini
right.
recipe.
Well, you mentioned you threw yeah. some Saint Germain in there, and you do represent Saint Germain yeah. here in New York. So I know I've met up with you before. We've had just little brunches, and right now we're drinking a wonderful Saint Germain cocktail. I'm going to read this off. It's Hendrick's Saint Germain cucumber, lemon, Malden salt, and soda. And it's even in a little soda bottle. And it makes me very happy, this little cocktail. It's very refreshing, and it's a warm summer day in New York. So, of course we wanted this. So, with Saint Germain, when you go out, are you coming up with cocktails for that? Do you get to stretch that muscle when you
yeah.
do events and everything? What was the event you just did? The pop you did at the Highline?
So, we did... I want to say like an art installation.
Ew,
And we teamed up with Lily Kwong, who is kind of like a urban developer. She puts different kind of like just green landscapes into urban areas just to revitalize it and bring nature into Concord, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, we need that in cities. We really do. You know.
It was amazing because the High Line is like the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Where it's an ex-subway and all this foliage just grew on its own there, and New York City made it into a park.
Just did a little landscaping. Yeah.
Just do a little landscaping. So we took it to the next level with St. Germain and kind of really pushed the boundaries between creating this, I guess, art gallery experience where you walk through and just be surrounded by flowers and New York City and
how beautiful
the freshness of,
yeah.
of just
I like how New York is so. Really like trying to bring nature back in, like just all the activity in the water now.
Yeah.
People are like actually swimming in the river and everything. There's so much boat action, people like using the parks and urban gardening, rooftop gardens, all of this. It's wonderful.
As small as the city is, it can yeah. feel really lonely, and any time to get outside is like, it's a blessing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've been working, all of us work crazy hours.
Right.
And to get out to the beach for like 1 weekend sometimes just doesn't cut it. But if you can go to the park like once or twice a week, or, you know, go to a local swimming pool or take the train out to
just
Coney
even
Island,
to Coney Island, right?
It's outside.
It's outside
of your mind.
And since this podcast is technically about music and booze, and we've talked about booze for like a half hour now, we should talk about the music part.
Yeah.
But I think this pulls in because, you know, you're talking about like being outside, being all this stuff, and I think, and you go to, I know you go to like the jazz afternoon, you know, on Governor's Island, things like that. So let's say one of these drinks that you've created, what would you listen to? It's like here. What should we listen to while we're drinking our aperitifs, you know, or having our low ABVs? What is your soundtrack? Or maybe we should just roll back to you at home. Sit at home, make yourself a drink, and put something on the stereo. What is that going to be?
Just like when a customer comes up to me and asks me what's my favorite drink, it all depends on my mood.
Right? No, but that's totally legit.
It's legit. All depends on my mood.
All right, let's go through the rainbow of moods that Marlo can have.
with July 4th weekend, you know, it's celebrating with friends, being outdoors, enjoying an aperitif.
So are you planning like a party in your head?
Yeah.
You'll make this drink and play this music for them?
Yeah, I mean...
What is it?
For me, it's like I want to listen to Django Reinhardt and just listen to kind of just like a soft like guitar jazz.
Yeah. So what are we drinking while we're listening to Django Reinhardt?
Just anything that I want. Honestly, I will drink anything at any moment. But it's like having a nice French aperitif.
I was going to say, Django Reinhardt makes me think it should be like a fancy drink, but bubbly. That's where my brain goes anyway.
Drink champagne anytime you get to. Just drink champagne all the time. And my usual go-to, especially for like this kind of like summer weather, would be just a dry vermouth with a lemon twist on it.
Really? That's it? I've never had vermouth straight.
Just dry vermouth on the rocks, lemon twist, maybe a splash of St. Germain to like kick up the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can be
really dry.
Too dry.
What about in the winter? What's your go-to spirit in the winter?
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Scotch.
There you go. So I'm noticing that one of your tattoos here is a couple dancing around a turntable with records thrown all over the ground. Why is that?
I like to swing dance, and I like to listen to records.
There we go. That's perfect.
This is what I like to do.
So what are some of your favorites then? What are some of your maybe Desert Island? And, you know, I will say this before you answer that question. Like you said about cocktails, it depends on your mood.
Yeah.
I am like that with my Desert Island. Whenever I ask people, what are the 10, blah, blah, blah. I have a couple that are constant, but other stuff shifts. Necessarily like a new record that just came into it. Yeah. I just go, oh, I didn't think about that record before, and that's a fantastic record.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from the 50s, it's from the 80s, whatever.
Yeah.
So at this moment in time, this beautiful summer day in this poppin' New York Greenwich Village, really, right? Isn't this the Village, technically?
Yeah. West Village.
West Village? Bar / restaurant. What pops to mind in regards to records that you would want to take with you? If someone said, your house is burning, you can grab 5 CDs or something like that. You don't need to name 5, just a couple of them.
I've always forever loved Hawaiian music.
Oh, really?
Love
even
it.
Even before Tiki, or that was like the gateway to
Tiki? It was part of the gateway. It was just, it was the ukulele, the slide guitar.
You know what? I find that Hawaiian music just makes me, it soothes me.
Yeah.
Some people, it's all new agey. I'm like, you know what? If I put that on, I'm so okay. It's like meditation.
Yeah, and it's just, for me, every time I listen to it, it is like escapism. I just listen to it. And
then you found out there was a drink for that.
Yeah.
So is there any artists in particular from that world? Is it the Martin Denny's and the Arthur Lymans of the world?
Any kind of exotica music, but I've been trying my best to look for like 1930s Victrolas of early Hawaiian music
or
just slide guitar. So hard to find.
That is so hard.
So hard to find.
Because Hawaii has such a...
I don't even own a Victrola, but I have like...
But you will if you find it.
Yeah. I have like 2 or 3 at home. And,
so you found some 78s that would work.
But the thing is, it's like... You can find it on at most digital outlets.
Yeah, there are CDs that have reissued some of that stuff, or at least like, tracks here and there.
I do still have a bunch of records from the 1950s and 60s that I listen to all the time.
Like what?
There's just like a bunch of like Hawaiian mixes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's all that Hawaii Calls kind of stuff?
Yeah. And then a lot of this instrumental teaches.
Were you into that when you were a kid too?
What?
Were you into that when you were a kid as well?
Not really. Growing up as a kid, man, I was into like all the cool music.
The regular stuff, the whatever, rock and roll, and
whatever,
everything.
Whatever, like Michael Jackson and Poison.
So how did Exotica find its way to you?
I guess the instrumentation of it.
Do you remember when you heard it the first time?
I remember a long time ago listening to Martin Denny on the radio, and it was just, I forgot what song it was. And just the whole aspect of it.
I mean, I don't remember when I heard that the first time, but my father did tell me that he owned some of those records. Because I met Arthur Lyman in 98. I went to Hawaii, and he would play, like, every Friday at the New Otani Hotel in Honolulu. And a friend of mine told me that before I went there. He's like, you've got to go. So I went, and he was playing, and there was me and my friend that I made drive me there, who lived there. And then these two, like, punk rock kids. And the rest were all little old ladies. So when it was over, all these old ladies were like, ugh, Arthur, because he's like 6'2". He's this beautiful 6'2" Hawaiian man who would canoe over from the other side of the island to do the show. So he was in amazing shape. He'd come over and he'd play his xylophone and everyone would just go, ooh. So I went and said, can I get a picture with you? And one, he was stoked that it was like a young girl. You know, I was like in my 20s, I think, at the time, maybe 28 or something. And he was like...
This was like yesterday.
Ha ha ha, you're too kind. And he was all, yeah, you can take a picture with me. Would you like to hold my mallets? And I'm like, yes. So he had a spare pair. So I have a picture of me and Arthur Lyman holding mallets. And I remember I showed my father later, and he's like, oh, I used to have a lot of Arthur Lyman records. I listened to them when you were little. I'm like, oh,
there it
okay.
Is.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where it had come from. But it's wonderful.
Yeah,
and the swing stuff, when did you get into the swing stuff?
Oh, just being in New York City with the business community. And I've always had, like,
An old sensibility.
An old sensibility.
We're all old men in young bodies.
It's just the music, like, it's a different way of living.
It is.
That I, yeah. That attracts to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the political stuff, but
yeah,
But just the way people live in the past. Mm-hmm.
That whole Gatsby
kind
of era and everything.
Yeah, even after that, like, the 50s and 60s, and the simplicity of living.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's why I got into, like, exotic and Hawaiian music, was just that form of escapism.
Yeah. So what are some of the swing artists that you, besides Django, we know that one, and that's, like, old school. I mean,
yeah.
I tend to think of swing as a little bit later than that.
Yeah.
But that's that hot club kind of stuff,
yeah.
You know, which is fun.
Hot jazz.
Yeah. Hot jazz is really, I love it. It's so simple, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes across as simple. It's not.
No.
But like wine music, that's part of the skill set.
Yeah.
And that could be a great cocktail, too.
Yeah.
A really great cocktail can be very simple, but if it's balanced right, it's wonderful. A really beautiful ukulele song with the right vocals. If it's,
100%.
Right? Done right?
100%.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, just a glass of rum will just do just fine. You know?
What's your favorite rum at the moment?
Oh, man, a lot of rums.
I'm sure there are a lot of rums, but
I drink all the rums. I mean, I've always had a soft place in my heart for Jamaican, like really funky Jamaican rums.
See, I can't do the super funky ones.
Oh, the funky ones.
You like the super agricoles?
I love the esters. I love the bananas in there.
See, to me, it's a little too overripe banana is what I get.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
You're so Filipino. I'm like, what's up with my Pinoy friend?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
no, it's true.
Filipinos love extremes.
See, well, so my family's Colombian, and we had panela, right? And here in New York, a lot of people know panela. There's a lot of Colombians here. And that's almost in the brown sugar, maple, all this stuff. So, of course, I love the Demerara rums. I'm all this because to me it's like it's more sugar. It's that dark sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite molasses, although I like molasses, but it's that dark sugar. When it starts getting funky, I like it, but I don't love it. And there are people who the funky is the shit, man.
Yeah. I just love funky rum. I do.
All right, let's take it back to music then. Let's go. I'm still trying to get you to pair me a cocktail and some music. So
cocktail, some music.
Yeah, it can be crazy rum stuff. It can be this. Let's pair, you know, like maybe get you some swing music. And what are you drinking besides champagne? I know you want to drink. Why do you want us to drink champagne all the time?
Because champagne's delicious. It's refreshing. It
You're like,
be,
duh.
It can be nice and dry. It's always a good time.
When next time you come to LA, I have some girlfriends that we will all sit with because they're like
everyone
chompers.
Just,
it makes them very happy.
Everyone to drink champagne.
Because the world would just be better if we all drank champagne. What about the headache?
I guess you could have it.
Eat some salt. Yeah. That'll make the headache go away.
Have some nice fish with
there
that.
There you go. Okay, wait. Fish and champagne.
Fish and champagne.
Just that?
Well,
we're on to something here. You might be pairing something for me.
Well, it was Marilyn Monroe said potato chips and champagne. It's just salt.
Is that how, do you feel that's a good assessment?
Fucking wonderful. Wonderful pairing. Get some really nice salty, slightly peppery, just potato chips and drink a glass of champagne or a bottle of champagne. Bag of chips, bottle of champagne.
Right.
Wonderful pairing, and Marilyn Monroe was right.
Well, Marlo,
7 year itch.
I think you might be off the hook. I think
7 year itch.
I think that works.
It's elegant.
Not everyone can be as elegant as Marilyn Monroe.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat, or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Potato chips and champagne.
Can we order potato chips at the bar?
We don't have potato chips.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I feel like we've been talking about this for a pretty long time. We should rejoin our friends. Maybe have some champagne and something salty.
Yeah.
Sound like a plan?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, Marlo. I really appreciate you sitting here with me in the corner to take up time.
This is great. I mean, I don't know. We didn't really talk about music that much.
No, totally. We talked about music somewhat.
Somewhat.
It's more booze. But you know what? We did bring the music thing in. Okay, then before we go.
I could do a whole bunch of music and cocktail pairings. I've thought about this all the time.
Do you think? Okay, can you rattle them off right now?
Mai Tai Hawaii music. Classic rock and white wine spritzer.
That's gonna be Bon Jovi. Okay.
You know what? It works.
Queen and a white wine spritzer. No, Queen has way more balls than a white wine spritzer. We'll go back to Bon Jovi and the white wine spritzer.
Any kind of like American rock and roll with whiskey pairs well.
Yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Or like ZZ Top. What would you drink, ZZ Top whiskey, or is ZZ Top more of a beer cocktail?
I think it's a beer and a shot.
Beer and a shot, yeah. I think that's, yeah.
And then,
that's a good call.
Let's see. Every time I drink like an Italian aperitif, I think of the 1950s.
50s?
Italian, yeah, 1950s Italian music. Like,
oh, 50s Italian.
Italian.
Any names coming to mind? Because I have to do.
Like
I know I have some.
Half, like, you know, just that kind of movie. It's just
lifestyle.
And drinking a Negroni or like a Spagliato.
So
like,
you've got like Nina Rota.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like the Amarcord soundtrack, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Listen to some Nina Rota while you're drinking a Negroni, kind of thing. I like that. Ooh, that's very sophisticated.
Glass of champagne anytime.
Anytime, with anything.
With anything. I want to say, you know, with like hip-hop music and like 90s hip-hop, you can just drink like any kind of like Amaro or like rum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I never really thought about that.
Kind of falls into the category of like a rum and coke,
but spruce it up a little bit.
Spruce it up and take it to the next level and drink some Amaro and some rum.
Nice.
The same thing with like any kind of like Jamaican music. Or like
I was going to say, what goes is reggae.
Yeah.
And that's back to the rum.
Yeah. It's like definitely.
Just have a Dark and Stormy with your reggae or something.
Dark and Stormy would be great. let's say if you're listening to like London Britpop, I would.
You have a Britpop cocktail?
I would drink like
gin.
Any kind of gin.
Yeah.
Cocktail, especially like a Pimm's cup. Or,
what about like mod stuff?
Mod stuff.
Yeah, because that goes back to your 60s aesthetic.
Yeah. And
you know?
Kind of like,
and that's also very soulful. It brings the ska in.
Yeah.
So, what would you listen with mod?
I would drink like a gin and tonic, like a really nice.
Just a good gin and tonic with ska. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
Definitely with any kind of like Mexican music, you should always be drinking tequila or mezcal.
Right. What about like techno?
Techno?
Or do you just like not even consider that?
Oh man.
Because like, techno's tough.
Yeah.
Because techno's not really for people who think. No, and I say that having been a rave DJ at one point in my life, I actually love good electronic music.
Yeah.
And there was in the early 90s, and there have been still, there is good electronic music out there. But overall, it's hard to find good brain set in that world.
The thing is just like, I like to pair like cocktails and music with the rhythm of how you're feeling in life. And you know, with usually when it comes to techno music and I'm dancing, it's probably, I'm going to say, give me a shot of tequila or and then just go.
Because tequila, if I remember correctly, of all the spirits, tequila is the only upper. The rest of them are kind of downers technically.
Yep.
But tequila actually has some sort of something within its structure that hypes you up a little bit, which is why tequila people, bartenders complain, oh, when people drink tequila, there's going to be a fight or something because they get too amped up.
Yeah, that's true.
So tequila and rave music.
Love it. I want to say 1940s and 50s classic jazz. I want to go with like a Bobby Burns or like a Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
Something to smoke on with nice complexity.
I like it. So I've been told by some bar owners, they're like, you can make the most beautiful cocktail menu that you want, but you're going to make your money on Moscow Mules and Old Fashions.
Yep.
So
nowadays,
now, right now, those are the ones. So
too hot right now.
What do you listen to? So the Old Fashioned, I think we could probably throw back into that 50s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
What would you listen to when you're drinking a Moscow Mule?
Moscow Mule?
Mm-hmm. Because that, to me, that's very, like, kind of upbeat girl kind of drink. I'm almost like, listen to Britney Spears or something with a Moscow Mule. And I have girlfriends that I love who love Moscow Mules, so I almost feel bad saying that.
I mean, but I would honestly would
you throw it further down into the 50s or something?
I would throw in, like, a little bit of, like, a nice, like, club dance music with
a Moscow Mule. Nice.
That's what I would drink.
Like 90s club music? Like
90s club music. Or even, like, 70s club music.
Ooh.
Instead of, like...
Yeah, what's the disco cocktail?
It's probably like a Harvey Wallbanger. But
right.
The thing is, it's like, you know, Moscow Mule will probably
work with
really
disco.
Well, with disco.
Oh, fun.
I have Donna Summers in my mind. Well,
right now?
Right now, I'm thinking about
which Donna Summers song? Because I love Donna Summer. I'm a Dim All the Lights person. Right? That's such a beautiful song.
It's so good.
Because it's one of those, like, really heartfelt romantic songs from her.
Yeah.
And then it gets the disco thing, but it's still, if I heard her do it live before she passed, I probably would have teared up and cried a little bit. It's Dim All the Lights. It's such a good song.
Really good song. have a Moscow Mule with it.
There we go. I'll have to try that at home.
Yeah.
I'll have to get some good vodka first. All right. Awesome. I think that's good.
Yeah.
We got a lot accomplished here. We left our friends for like an hour. It's a good thing they can all get along with each other, okay?
It's a good thing they're drinking.
All right, well, thank you very much, Marlo. I really appreciate it.
Well.
I look forward to the next time we get to hang out and not be doing it for business.
Well, I mean,
this wasn't business, really. We're just hanging out.
We're just hanging out.
We just recorded it for posterity's sake. All right, thank you.
Thanks,
I'm turning off the mic now. Till next time.
A super, super heartfelt thank you to Marlo for joining me and sitting down and talking about music and booze. If you're ever in the West Village of New York City, stop by Dante and say hi to Marlo. He's a really, really superb human being. And, you know, anybody who loves potato chips and champagne as much as he does... well, it's pretty much okay in my book. Thanks so much, Marlo. And remember, if you head on over to the Facebook page, you'll see a very, very cool Spotify playlist that Marlo came up with so that you can have something to listen to while you're eating your potato chips and drinking your champagne. Maybe we should turn up the old Victrola for a moment. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you in part by The Blind Rabbit, a speakeasy located in the Anaheim Packing District. The Blind Rabbit has twice been given Best Mixology Awards by the OC Register, as well as several nominations for their innovative cocktail program. For more info and to make reservations, go to theblindrabbit.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and as always, check out Mo Herms on Facebook, because that is where all the info for this podcast lives. You can find information about the bars that we were discussing, and you can find, most importantly, the Spotify playlist for today's guests. So that is over on Facebook. Just look up Mo Herms for more info on Music and Booze with Mo. And as always, thank you so much for lowering your expectations and joining us at the bar. Till next time.